You're listening to the Eyes on Conservation podcast, episode 128. Welcome to the Eyes on Conservation podcast, where we bring you engaging conversations about wildlife and conservation issues from all across the globe. I'm your host, Matt Podolsky. Already this summer, we've experienced record-breaking heat waves. As I prepare this episode for release on our nation's Independence Day, it's over 100 degrees where I live in Boise, Idaho. Of course, every time I see news of record-breaking temperatures, I'm reminded of our rapidly changing climate. But these days, I'm also reminded of something else. The solar panels that were recently installed on my roof. Long hot days mean that those panels are generating more energy, actually more than we can use often. So today, we are bringing you a group discussion about rooftop solar. Here in Boise, Idaho, we have a fantastic campaign going on right now called Solarize the Valley. The campaign is run by the Boise-based nonprofit organization Snake River Alliance, and its goal is to promote and encourage more people to install solar panels on their roof. So we are joined today by an excellent panel of guests who are involved in this campaign.
Hello there, my name is Micah Hornback. I'm a PV Technical Sales Representative for Alt Energy Solar. We're a grassroots solar company right out of Garden City, Idaho. We've been in Idaho for about 6 years now, and we've been doing solar installations nationally for a little bit over 12. We partnered with the Snake River Alliance last year, and this as well, for the Solarize the Treasure Valley campaign, for a mutual partnership to promote solar installations in the Boise community in the greater Treasure Valley area.
My name is Rick Just, and I'm one of Micah's customers, essentially, and a participant in Solarize the Valley last year. We've had solar panels for about 16, 18 months now.
I'm Liz Paul, and I am running the Solarize the Valley campaign for the Snake River Alliance. I'm a private contractor, and I'm excited to be working with people to help them learn more about installation of rooftop solar.
And I'm Brenda Just. And I'm married to Rick Just and a happy homeowner with solar panels on my roof.
Fantastic. Well, thanks to all of you for being here. And I'll just mention real briefly that I am also a participant in last year's Solarize the Valley campaign. So I'm also a client of Alt Energy, and we got solar panels up on our roof just a few months ago. So yeah, we're super excited to be a part of that campaign. And I'm really excited that you guys are continuing this campaign and still trying to encourage more people to get rooftop solar on their homes, because I think that's really important. So let's start off this conversation by just talking about Snake River Alliance as an organization. I mean, what's the mission and vision of this organization?
The Snake River Alliance is a nonprofit grassroots community group founded right here in Boise, Idaho in 1979. We are one of the oldest grassroots organizations in Idaho. And the people who came together on a park bench in Julia Davis Park one evening, and they were worried about the fact that the federal government was actually disposing of nuclear waste over the Snake River Plain aquifer, nuclear waste created by nuclear power plant experimentation and other both commercial and defense-related missions having to do with nuclear materials. So these folks got together and they founded the Snake River Alliance, and they went after the federal government and really ripped aside all the veils of secrecy that have been shrouding all the nuclear activity in eastern Idaho. And they, at the same time, were promoting clean energy. And all these years later, the Snake River Alliance is still at it. We are Idaho's nuclear watchdog. We have just been on their back now to the Department of Energy, since 1979, to make sure that citizens had access to the information about what was going on at the Idaho National Lab. And we are the ones that have really been pushing and trying to make sure that there's funding to address the problems of nuclear contamination that persist at that site, and to make sure that more nuclear waste or nuclear facilities aren't built in Idaho and continuing to really fight for clean energy. We think we were the ones that really blew the whistle on Idaho Power, to letting everybody know how much of their power came from coal, because those plants aren't in Idaho. So people think that Idaho Power doesn't have any coal in their portfolio, when indeed they have a large segment that's coal. And coal has a lot of problems with it. Probably the most significant these days is the emissions of greenhouse gases and the contribution toward climate change. So the Snake River Alliance has been a public policy advocacy group and getting citizens involved. We take citizens to the State House and to the Idaho Public Utilities Commission and to Washington, D.C., and we have lawsuits and all kinds of different ways for people to get involved in that those very important public policy decisions. And it's a membership organization, so everybody can join.
Fantastic, fantastic. So how did the Snake River Alliance get involved in promoting rooftop solar?
The Snake River Alliance was approached by Chad Wirth, and Chad became he said, you know, why aren't you doing a Solarize program in Idaho? And we're like, well, what's a Solarize program? And he explained that starting in Portland, Oregon, a number of years ago, that neighbors came together and said, well, you know, if we can all band together and work with the solar installers, maybe we could get a better deal. And the Solarize idea of having private public partnerships, basically, to make it more accessible, easier, simpler for people to install rooftop solar. And we looked into it. We thought Chad had a good idea, and the board of directors of Snake River Alliance looked into it and decided that we wanted to do more than just encourage people to write letters and go to the Public Utilities Commission's meeting and stuff like that. We wanted to really help people do what, at the end of the day, is really needed, which is to increase Idaho's production of clean and renewable power. And rooftop solar was definitely the way to go. And so we're really excited to be doing this. And it's definitely it was a change in 2016 out of our traditional wheelhouse. But Chad and a number of other volunteers really made it easy for the Snake River Alliance to take on this new project. And it's really been a great success.
I guess what I'm curious about, and I mean, this is kind of a question like for all of us to think about, is, you know, why rooftop solar versus industry scale renewable energy projects?
There's nothing to say you can't. But in terms of what were the Snake River Alliance, what we're really capable of doing, it was that individual consumer's decision, individual homeowner or business owner's decision to put renewable, clean solar power, you know, rooftop or maybe sometimes ground mounted solar panels, you know, right into their power system for their home or their business. It was just much more accessible. Now, the Snake River Alliance has been a strong supporter of the larger commercial renewable energy facilities, as well, of course, as conservation and energy efficiency. We've been a big promoter to make sure that people are also reducing and communities are reducing their power demand.
I'm curious to hear from the two folks who also have solar panels up on their roof right now. I mean, what was it about, like, having the solar panels sort of on site, like attached to your physical building, versus, because you could just pay a little bit more money to Idaho Power and essentially be paying for power that comes from renewable sources?
Well, that's certainly true today. When we started talking about it, that wasn't an option. So we were just doing what we could. And one thing that you can do as an individual is put it on your roof.
I mean, is there something like, you know, is there something like that is, you know, on like a gut level, just appealing to like having the production source right there on site?
This is Rinda, and absolutely. Some forms of energy are best distributive, and so rooftop solar is very local. You don't have to, you know, transmit the energy from point A to point B. There's just something nice about being able to generate the power that you use right where you live. And, you know, yes, you can purchase a share in the solar projects that are going out there, but that you're still paying Idaho Power, who's still using coal. And, you know, we did it not so much for economic benefits, but because we knew it was the right thing to do. And we were looking at solar and had gotten a couple of bids before the Solarize the Valley project got started. And so when that got started, and we looked into that, it was clearly the best option for us. And it's just great. I mean, it's right there. It's on our roof. It's making power and running my house. As long as the sun is shining, and even when it isn't, it's creating some. And it's just really nice to have it right there. And there's, you know, no power poles. There's no nothing. It's just there.
This is Micah from All Energy. And we were just talking with Rick and Rinda earlier, and they said they had a friend ask them a question about their solar energy. They said, does it feel any difference using solar energy that you're producing on your home? Or is it somehow any difference than using regular energy? And of course, it smells better. It tastes cleaner. And there's really no question whatsoever as to exactly where that power is coming from. Because if you are even, as Radio Boise is part of this energy or part of this program to purchase renewable energy from the solar farm that Idaho Power is currently building, you still don't know for certain that the energy that you are pulling from the grid is coming from that clean technology. It could very well still be pumping in that dirty coal, nasty, stinky coal power. But when you have it right there on top of your roof, there's no question whatsoever you're feeding that bad boy directly onto your bus bar of your electrical panel, and all of your appliances are using that, and you're pumping that clean energy to your friend's house, strengthening the neighborhood, the integrity of the neighborhood's grid itself. And especially when battery technology comes into play, that'll be even more useful.
That's a really good point. And I do kind of want to get into like the logistics of like how the panels work and like how that energy is distributed. Before we go there, let's jump into the logistics of how the Solarize the Valley campaign works, essentially, right? The idea behind the campaign is that, you know, you're able to offer a lower price point, right? So, I mean, explain to me a little bit like how that works.
So I've talked to hundreds of people now over the last couple of years who have signed up to participate in this program. And the first question I always ask is, well, have you looked into solar before? What do you know about it? You know, what's your motivation? And I can tell you those answers have been not just the same answer from everybody. It's been almost a different answer from everybody. And a lot of the people have not looked into solar at all before and really are total beginners. And I just always, you know, just say congratulations. We got somebody in the door who wouldn't have otherwise come in the door and looked into solar. And that is the big victory right there. So and it's so easy to get in the door. All people have to do is go to our website, which is solarizethevalley.org, and we have a really simple form. They just have to, you know, fill out their information about where they live and what kind of roof they have. And the complicated part is they do need to get us their power bill, and we have an upload. Anyway, so that we get their power bill and we get, you know, their information of where their home is, and they're in the door to get a totally free site assessment. And we have two fabulous contractors, and the way that we decided on who those contractors were going to be is it was an open bidding process. We put out a request for proposal, and we had experts, you know, to get the right parameters together for that, and then to interview the companies that came through and applied, you know, to be part of the program. And of course, it's like, well, who's going to come in with the cheapest price and the best equipment and good service? And the capacity, because we didn't want everybody who came in our program to not be able to get their panels on for 3 years or something. You had to be able to, you know, run a volume. We had 49 residential installations last year. That was a lot of volume. So this year we have two companies. We have Alt Energy, Micah here in the studio today with
us.
And we also have Bluebird Solar and Light. And so when people come in to our program, by signing up at solarizethevalley.org, then they're assigned to one of those two contractors. They're both using the exact same prices and the same equipment. And the bid isn't just like, you know, a piece of paper with some numbers scribbled onto it. It's a full-on assessment. How much power, you know, does your home use? Are you going to be making changes and reducing your power because you're becoming more efficient? Or are you going to be maybe using more power because you'd be purchasing like an electric vehicle or, you know, adding on a room in the next couple of years? And so you get a really personalized assessment. How many panels would you need to meet 100% of your power needs, or almost 100%? And of course, you don't have to. You could do 20% this year and come back in the future and do more. Any amount of solar power is beneficial. So the contractors just work directly with the homeowners to work out what's going to work well for them. You know, they just double check, of course, you know, how much shade is there, where is the roof oriented, what kind of roof do they have, and then it's up to the homeowner to decide, you know, is this right for us. And we have gotten a lot of people in the door who've said, I've thought about this for so long, but, you know, my wife and I saw this and was like, okay, we're just, you know, we are now going to do it. And, you know, it just gets people just that little bit more incentive. Some people are real shoppers and they'll come into the program, oh, I've already had 5 bids and I want a bid from you guys. Other people come in and it's like, oh, I'm so glad you've taken all the legwork out of it. You know, sign me up. This is good. You know, I believe you. This is, you know, I trust you guys, and this has been a great experience. So that's the way it works. And, you know, this year for the 2017 program, people need to sign up to get that assessment by the end of July, which is July 31st. And then they'll have all the way until Halloween, October 31st, before they do have to sign the contract for the installation. So this is a sale. This is not the normal price that these companies would offer. And so it's a limited time offer. And again, it's just that same thing. You just want to incentivize people to look into it, to learn about it, and hopefully it works out well and they'll actually, you know, make that purchase and install that clean rooftop energy.
Awesome. So, I mean, the idea here, I mean, one of the central motivators is that through this campaign and through organizing within the community, you're able to offer a lower price point, right? Because you're essentially, you know, turning to these solar installers, Alt Energy, and saying, like, we can guarantee a certain amount of people are going to sign up and express interest, right? So we're going to increase the amount of business you get in exchange for you offering a lower price, right?
Yeah, and in addition to what Liz was saying, Alt Energy has the capacity to do so because we, as I already mentioned, are kind of a grassroots organization. We don't do a lot of that expensive commercial billboard marketing that you'll see with other larger scale solar companies. We pretty much operate by word of mouth with people like Rick and Rinda, who are willing to tell their neighbors the great experience they had with their installation process with the respectful, well communicate, solid communication of our installers, and we are able to be lean, mean, just have a nice quality NABCEP certified engineering team and administration, NABCEP certified installers, and not spend all that extra overhead on going to door-to-door marketing and knocking on people's door and asking them if they'll buy solar. We're just trying to depend on the people to trust their neighbors and pass on that good word.
For sure. And you're also benefiting from this campaign. I mean, essentially, Snake River Alliance is running a marketing campaign for you, right?
Absolutely. And because Snake River Alliance is so efficient, especially Liz Paul, very, very well connected and very intelligent strategist on that front, we've seen a significant boost in our economics over the last 2 years. We've actually increased our gross revenue by 60% from 2015 to 2016. And then we're looking at a 25% increase in revenue this year as well. We've added 5 jobs over the last 2 years. We've included 2 new engineers to our crew, 2 new installers, and we just hired a new installer yesterday, as a matter of fact, and also created my brand new position. I like to use all this sophisticated terminology and call it a PV Technical Sales Representative, because that's what I got my NABCEP certification in. So all this was possible through the logistics and the marketing and the partnership with Snake River Alliance. And we have mutual goals and we really respect this organization, and we respect the fact that they respect other grassroots organizations rather than going to the big commercial outfitters out there. They look for the quality installers who are connected in the community.
And this is Rinda again. These are good jobs, and you know what? They can't be outsourced. These are good jobs in the local economy, and they're clean jobs. We feel good about the fact that we've got clean energy, but we also feel good about the fact that we've helped the Boise economy. We're hiring professionals, we're hiring labor, and those are jobs that can only be done here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You're definitely a very fruitful partnership. So really cool to learn about how that's come together. Rick and Rinda, a couple questions for you guys. I mean, Liz was talking about, sort of the different perspectives that people come to her with regarding, installing rooftop solar on their homes. Where were you guys? When did you first start thinking about installing solar panels on your roof? And, at what stage in that process, what was it about the Solarize campaign that perked your interest?
Sure. We've been talking about it for years. But and as solar prices come down, we started talking more and more seriously. And we downsized about 18 months ago and moved to a little bit smaller house and started thinking about doing a little remodeling here and there and projects. So we thought, let's get a bid. And the first bid we got was a little higher than we wanted to pay. And then we got a second bid, and it was pretty darn good. And then Solarize came along, and they beat the best bid. And it really pushed us over the edge, as it were, because it seemed to make good sense economically. That wasn't really, it was a little bit of a barrier, but it's not really why we're getting into it. We want to get into it because it is the right thing to do. We would just as soon use that big sun up there to power things than to dig up the things that the sun has done a few eons ago and pour them into the atmosphere.
And when we we'd gotten the two bids we're not well to do and we're both retirees from the state, so it wasn't like we made big bucks during the time we worked, and we've got a modest retirement income, but with power you're going to pay for it at some point. And by paying for it all now, there's actually a fair chance that, that we'll actually end up paying a lot less for our power than other folks do, because Idaho Power's rates aren't necessarily always going to stay the same. And we've got cheap power in Idaho because of hydro. And yes, it may be clean, but if you look at what we've done to our fisheries and a lot of other natural resources, it's not harmless. And so it just kind of, made sense, and we decided we'd bite the bullet, and we borrowed money from our credit union on a home equity loan, and that will be paid off, and we'll probably be ahead of the game probably within 8 to 10 years, and our panels are guaranteed for 25. They'll probably last a whole lot longer than that. So once we've paid that off, it's all gratis, to us. But it's just that we chose to make it up front rather than pay for it monthly, like you do the power company. This way according to the information that we got while we were looking at this, it's one of the best investments you can make. If you've got $10,000 to $20,000 that you don't really know what to do with, you will actually do better investing it in rooftop solar than you will putting in the stock market.
Almost a third of what we paid, we're going to get back in tax, right off the bottom line in taxes. Mm-hmm. Actually, mm-hmm. Already have.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a really important way to think about it, right? And of course, most people don't have $10,000 or $20,000 laying around, but a lot of people do have the ability to take out a loan, and there are loan programs specific to renewable energy projects that you can get here in Idaho, which is what I did. That's how we got our panels installed. Was we went through one of those state renewable energy loan programs to get the money to install our panels, and we actually didn't. So for our home, we actually took the The proposal that Alt Energy gave us last year, you know, they gave us an estimate based on what they thought it would take to get us, you know, to net zero roughly, and it was more money than we could get through that loan program. So we actually decided to cut that in half. So we decided to do half the number of panels that was projected to get us to net zero, and then, you know, take some steps to like reduce our usage. I'm actually surprised. Like we're actually closer to net zero than I thought we would be with just half, with just eight panels on our house. When you start thinking about it, it sort of shifts your perspective on that, right? Of like, right. Like people have access to these loan programs, to, you know, the ability to get a loan. Like, why not just pay off towards that loan on a monthly basis instead of paying the utility.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. I'd a lot rather write a check to my credit union mm-hmm. than I would write a check to Idaho Power.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Idaho Power has, you know, we have net metering, which means that anything extra we produce, they get. Over the course of the year, if we produced more than we totally used, they've gotten it, you know, for free. We've generated some power for them for the grid. But, you know, if we generate more in the summer than we do in the winter, and, you know, we can bank off of that net metering. So, it's really great. And Idaho Power has made that net metering available, and we had no problem working with them to come and install a net meter. And it's just like magic. It's great every month when we get that power bill for $5, which is the meter fee. You know, it's just like, yeah. And when we're having those 100-degree days, I can actually not feel guilty if I kick my air conditioner down from 78 to 76. You know, I mean, I'm not keeping my house at a refrigerator level. It didn't really change the way we use electricity at our house. We had already replaced everything with an LED bulb. You know, we have automatic lights that go on and off in a lot of our rooms. We're pretty fanatical about that. So it didn't change the way we live, but it made it so that I don't feel the least bit guilty if I decide to take advantage of a couple of extra degrees of cooling in the summer. And that's just, it makes home more comfortable. I no longer feel guilty if I can't hang my clothes out on the line, because whatever is taking to dry them, I'm making right there on the premises.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So, I mean, let's talk a little bit about net metering and what that means, because this is sort of the standard way to set up a rooftop solar system. Let's not assume that everybody sort of know how that works. I mean, can you guys sort of break down for me, you know, what the process is?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Matt. So, currently, Idaho Power has a pretty solid net meter agreement for the state of Idaho that it provides power to. The basic premise of net metering is that Idaho Power will, after you get a solar installation, they're going to come and install a bidirectional net meter. So this net meter credits you for every kilowatt hour that you produce on your rooftop, but your home does not use immediately. And you take that, and that kilowatt hour actually goes down the transmission lines onto the grid. And those kilowatt hours are banked with Idaho Power for every kilowatt hour that you produce. You will actually see at the bottom of your power bill how many you've been credited for that given month. And oftentimes it's the summer months that you're going to be crediting the majority of those kilowatt hours, so that you can use those kilowatt hour credits in the winter months when the sun is lower in the horizon and you're just not getting as much solar production. So the basic premise is that you're using Idaho Power's grid as a battery backup, which is a great deal for $5 a month. It's much cheaper than a grid-tied battery backup system itself. So as long as they maintain this agreement, I think that Idaho Power is doing a great job to at least accommodate solar under the current circumstances and political climate.
Are any of you guys aware of like the process by which Idaho Power set up and approved net metering?
To the best of my knowledge, there was a federal act called the PURPA Act, an acronym which I couldn't necessarily break down for you at the exact moment, but I'm fairly sure it was enacted in the 70s, And it essentially was a mandate from the federal government that states or privatized power companies purchase renewable energy from either commercial or residential producers under what is known as a net metering agreement. This agreement doesn't necessarily play out the same way in each and every state. There's other states such as I think Utah that'll pay you a little bit less per kilowatt hour. They actually cut a check for you after you've banked a certain amount of credits at the end of every month, and that will actually pay you less than what they charge per kilowatt hour for residential customers. And then you'll have other states who will actually have not met their renewable energy quotas, and they will pay you more money for your renewable energy in order to meet those federal quotas that are mandated under the PURPA Act. And Idaho Power just so happens to choose a net metering agreement in which they decided to give just a straight kilowatt hour to kilowatt hour trade-off between residential, commercial, and also their transmission in order to satisfy that net meter agreement.
So it's important to remember that Idaho Power is a publicly regulated monopoly. And so it's not just like any old company out there that can just pretty much answer to the demands of its shareholders. It's publicly regulated, and in Idaho, then that would be the Idaho Public Utilities Commission. The role of the Public Utilities Commission is to make sure that Idaho Power is serving the greater good and not just delivering high returns to their shareholders. So in other words, they can't just keep jacking up prices, because then lower income people wouldn't be able to have power. They can't just pass through all of their costs automatically to their ratepayers. There's a whole, industry of lawyers that deal with all this regulations through the Public Utilities Commission. And the net metering agreement is one of those things that's regulated by the Idaho Public Utilities Commission. And as Micah said, the federal government made it mandatory that publicly regulated utilities like Idaho Power had to provide the opportunity for people to produce power on their homes and still be tied to the grid or be part of the Idaho Power system. And the Snake River Alliance, I mean, we think the grid is a great thing. And really this combination of some centralized power production and then the decentralized rooftop and other clean energy production could be the best of the best that we can get. And it provides a lot of reliability, because at the end of the day, people want to be able to have power they can rely on. And it's a public safety issue, public health issue, as well as just a convenience issue. And so to be able to produce your own power, and if a lot of people are producing their own power, then it also, especially in the summertime in Idaho, it really reduces the demand on the grid in those peak hours. The peak hours for power use can be many times what the normal, pull from the grid is. So, and that forces utilities to have to invest in all these plants that only get used a small time of the year, and they don't necessarily want to do that. It's not good for anybody. So to be able to have rooftop solar, that takes some of the pressure off of it, as was said earlier. Then we also have advantage of not having to move power, hundreds, maybe 1,000 miles even sometimes from one place to another. Sometimes Idaho Power has to import power from California or Washington State, a long way away sometimes, and that's just not efficient to move power that far. So the Public Utilities Commission is really responsible to look out for the public good, and that includes how clean is our air, what is our climate going to look like, and how does our energy production business, how does that relate to climate change, as well as fair pricing. And so the Snake River Alliance is working closely with Idaho Power and the Public Utilities Commission to make sure that at the end of the day, Idaho Power customers have access to either producing or purchasing clean, renewable energy. And we feel like that's going to be the best thing for our environment and our economy and basically the future of the planet.
I mean, I'm really curious about the connections between, Idaho Power, the Public Utilities Commission, and state government and the state legislature here in Idaho, and like how these different sort of political bodies like influence each other and the connections between like this privately traded company that is regulated by a government agency is, just, I mean, a very strange, you know, sort of a relationship that I think a lot of people are just not aware of exactly sort of how that works. And I'm just curious to like learn about just on a base level, like how that works. But you know, I'm also curious because, you know, I know, and some of you guys, you know, probably know that, you know, in other states, like here in Idaho, we have the ability to, you know, we're able to install rooftop solar because of net metering, right? But in other more progressive states, you're actually able to lease your rooftop to a company that will just come in and install solar panels without any upfront cost. And then you're essentially buying energy from a different utility company. And most of the time at a significantly lower cost than what the public utility would be charging you. You know, that's something that conservative states, politicians in conservative states have fought against. And so I'm just wondering, like, how all those connections like play out and like what influence like conservative Republican politicians here in Idaho have on the Public Utilities Commission and on Idaho Power.
I'm a recovering lawyer, and I spent my entire career in the public sector, 18 years of it working for the Attorney General's office. I was never one of the attorneys at the Public Utilities Commission, but am very good friends with a number of them and have been all of my career. I know that the Public Utilities Commission is a very independent entity. The commissioners are appointed for very long terms. They're very highly qualified. And, you know, yes, they don't get lobbied like the legislators do. But, you know, yes, everybody gets to come in front of the Public Utilities Commission and make their case. But the Public Utilities Commission is pretty far removed from political influence. Now, you know, a few years ago, I don't remember how many years ago, there was a move to, quote, deregulate power in Idaho, and it failed. And so, yes, over the long term, things can happen in the legislature that might affect the Public Utilities Commission, but the Public Utilities Commission is pretty insulated from political influence. And I think, you know, they often have a very, very difficult job because there are there's a lot to be said on either side of some of these issues. And, you know, they have to make sure that the power companies don't go belly up, but they also need to make sure, and they also need to make sure that everybody can afford to pay for what they're getting, and it's a tough balancing act. But I think over the course of years, that they've done a really pretty spectacular job of balancing those difficult issues.
My follow-up would be like, I mean, first of all, like, are you guys aware of these like rooftop leasing programs? And if so, like, why don't we have that? Like, I mean, clearly the economics is there, right? There are companies that have a economically viable business model where they're saying to an individual, lease me your rooftop and we will install solar panels up there and we are going to make more money off of the energy. Like, we're going to produce more energy than you need, and therefore we can sell you that energy at less than what the public utility can.
I think part of what's going on there is we're a pretty small market in Idaho. You know, we're about 600,000. If there were 10 million people in Idaho, I think you'd see more of a move toward that. These companies that are doing that are concentrating on the areas where they can do it right now. I think it will come eventually to Idaho.
It's not legal in Idaho.
No, I know.
But I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, I'm trying to say, you know, like, is it just a coincidence that politically conservative states, it's not legal to lease your rooftop to solar companies, where in politically progressive states, it is legal to lease your rooftop? I mean, there has to be a connection between, you know, the public, you know, the public utilities commissions in these states and the conservative politics, you know?
Yeah, I think it takes a long time for ideas and attitudes to change.
Mm-hmm.
Idaho Power, and by the way, Idaho Power isn't the only power company in the state. The other two power companies as well, they've been around for a long, long time. And certainly they have some influence, and certainly the legislators and probably to some extent the PUC are used to doing things in a certain way. It's going to take a while to get those ideas out. But I think that groups such as Snake River Alliance are saying, hey, we've got an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And they're working the Public Utilities Commission and Idaho Power in a friendly way all the time.
Mm-hmm. So maybe like my final sort of discussion question for us to think about is essentially this whole Solarize the Valley campaign, the goal is to make rooftop solar more accessible to your average person here in the Treasure Valley. And, you know, certainly we've talked about examples where it, you know, it certainly has made rooftop solar more accessible. It's made it accessible to me. It's made it accessible to you guys here sitting in the room. But it's not accessible to everybody, right? I mean, if you're a renter, if you're a low-income family, it's still probably not within reach. So, I mean, I guess what I'm wondering is, like what other ideas, what other concepts, you know, are we thinking about here that might allow renters, low-income families to get access to solar energy? And I mean community-based solar energy.
Well, as far as renters go, that's the Idaho Power's, solar plant where you can buy shares in that. Probably low-income people can't afford to do that either. But all we can do is what we can do. And those of us who can, should. And I don't know what else, I don't know what else, how else to solve that problem. But, it requires some amount of commitment,
yeah.
And some amount of fiscal ability. But it's not just for the rich, because Rick and I certainly do not fall into that category. We're like a lot of the middle class. We probably thought we were upper middle class at one time, and now we're probably upper lower class based on our income. But if it's important, you make it work. And the best we can do is try to make it as affordable as possible. It will continue to get more and more affordable as technology improves.
Mm-hmm.
One of our neighbors who is really interested in solar is actually thinking about using the solar shingles and giving those a try, because he needs a new roof anyway. But solar is a lot less expensive now than it was 10 years ago, and it'll probably be, the technology will probably be cheaper and better in another 10 years, too. So,
oftentimes, conservative philosophy is letting the market decide on a lot of these things, and I think we're really seeing a lot of that happen. Certainly, this is a regulated market, and that means that you have to hire lobbyists to get things done and so forth, but the market is deciding. I mean, look at the jobs that are out there now. We hear a lot about the returning coal jobs to the United States. Well, it's probably not going to happen. Solar is outpacing coal by I don't know how many factors right now as far as job creation and other forms of renewable energy. So I'm just optimistic. Even though we live in a very conservative state, I think it's going to turn around eventually. I think it's going to be hard to deny some of these new ideas.
So the interest in solar is definitely not based on your political affiliation. And people came into the Solarize program, and people became Solarize customers from across the Treasure Valley, Ada and Canyon County. And, of course, we didn't ask them what their politics was, but just from, the reasons that they gave, there was a big variety. And because there's economic reasons, there's environmental reasons, there's home improvement reasons, so that's good. But at the end of the day, what the Snake River Alliance is looking for is 100% clean, renewable energy, and that doesn't mean that everybody has to have their own solar panels. It would be a combination of people who are in a position financially and feel like that's where they want to put their money into putting on solar panels on their own roof. Certainly everybody can work on making their homes more efficient. Everybody has a part to play in not using as much power. And Idaho Power is a big participant in that, and they will help you reduce the energy that your home is using, and they will give you LED light bulbs for your home. So, and the other utilities are also, and part of that is because the Public Utilities Commission is requiring them to do that, and that's awesome. And Idaho Power is going to divest of its coal-powered plants. And at that point, if they are continuing to increase the amount of their portfolio that is a clean and renewable, then awesome. You don't need to then put on your own solar panels to be able to turn on your air conditioning and not feel like you're giving some kid asthma or killing salmon, right? so you end up there's a lot of different ways to get to the point where we're going to have a clean and reliable power source in the future and not be burning fossil fuels, which are ruining our climate, and they are they're not renewable. They're going to run out. So it's really awesome to be able to be doing Solarize and to be able to be and we poured almost $1 million into the local economy last year and created Micah's job and other people's jobs. So that's really awesome. And people being able to have solar panels right now, it meets a lot of needs. But it's not like everybody has to have solar panels on for us to get to a solution at the end of the day, or for any individual person to feel like they are playing a role in making, you know, the world and our community a better place. Lots of options. It's awesome. If people want to sign up, they have until July 31st, www.solarizethevalley.org, and they can visit our website, that same website, and read a lot about it and look at pictures of people's homes with solar panels on it. And we really are here to educate people and help people gain access to clean and renewable energy.
I just want to make one other comment about public utilities. Idaho Power is a lot like a lot of other very large companies that when they started, their job was to sell the electric power that they were generating in Hell's Canyon. You know, about 15 or 20 years ago, it occurred to them that the cheapest source of power was reducing use and conservation. And, you know, it costs a lot less to produce a kilowatt of energy by saving, not burning it, than it does building a power plant or a coal-fired plant or putting in a new dam, which, you know, is not really happening these days. But sometimes it takes these entities a long time to realize that their business wasn't selling electricity. Their business was creating a grid and figuring out different ways to fill that grid with power that people wanted. And that doesn't always mean generate, sell, generate, sell, generate, sell. There's a lot of, well, IBM, you know, thought the only thing that they were in the business to do was build big computers. And it turned out that really wasn't what, you know, over the course of time, that wasn't really what they were in the business of doing. And I think Idaho Power, we see it, but we see it slowly, like we do with all utilities. They have to kind of get out of the idea that all they're doing is generating and selling, that they actually do have a product, but that, you know, it has to include conservation. It has to include a variety of ways of creating it. It's not just this gigantic hydro thing that we've got all this power that we're generating from hydropower and we got to sell it to somebody. It's, you see it slowly happening. I mean, you know, when they decided that conservation was a viable way to create power, it was, I think, a huge breakthrough in the way that we do business. And now they're looking, you know, now they're building solar farms to generate some of their power. They're mm-hmm. taking their coal plants offline. Mm-hmm. They're taking them offline sooner than they intended to because it's too costly to mm-hmm. run them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these things do change, but they change slowly and incrementally, but they're changing in the right direction. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, the difference between, you know, a company like Idaho Power and IBM is that when IBM is too slow to make the changes that its consumers demand, then it goes out of business, right? But Idaho Power is insulated from that, you know, because it is a publicly regulated monopoly. And I think that is the key difference, is that, you know, that's almost a disincentive in my mind for them to to not change, you know, or to not adopt those changes as fast as they possibly can, you know. But I mean, the larger point that both of you just made, I think is really valid, which is that, you know, rooftop solar is a really important piece in this puzzle of solving the much bigger issue that we're trying to address, but it's not the only solution, right? And that by itself is not going to solve some of these really big picture questions that we're talking about, like climate change. So it does, it's one of these issues, like many, many issues in conservation, where the problem has to be attacked from a lot of different directions in order to ultimately solve it. But I really appreciate all of you guys joining me for this discussion, and I really appreciate all that you're doing. Each one of you is playing a different, really important role in this Solarize the Valley campaign, and I think it's really important. So a big thanks to all of you.
Rick and I also bought a plug-in hybrid, and so that's running off of our rooftop. So now when we're driving around Boise, we're putting out zero emissions.
Yeah.
And and that would have been a little more expensive to have done if we weren't generating, you know, all of our own power. So it enabled us to take one more step toward, you know, cleaning up the environment and trying to slow down climate change.
Absolutely. And that's another piece of that puzzle, right, is transportation, right? And and they're all interconnected, right? Because the transportation system can benefit from these rooftop solar programs. So absolutely.
Another way that everybody can participate and be part of the solution, and again, you were talking about, you know, lower income people, renters, students. Well, if you're 18, you can vote. So you need to get down. You need to be registered to vote, and you need to participate, because the people that you elect are the people who are setting these energy policies and are appointing the people to the Public Utilities Commission, and as well as voting and communicating with your legislators. You can also communicate with the Public Utilities Commission. You can communicate directly with Idaho Power to get the overall policies changed. So you don't need to be rich or influential or anything like that to be part of this grassroots advocacy that the Snake River Alliance and our other fellow organizations in the Treasure Valley and organizations across America are working hard. And so nobody should feel hamstrung because they, you know, don't own their home yet, or they, you know, aren't ready to put on solar panels. There's plenty of things you can do to help us pursue and get that 100% clean and renewable energy we all deserve.
Absolutely, and thanks for that. Yeah, that's another critical piece in that larger puzzle, is getting people registered to vote and making sure they actually show up to cast that ballot. So another really important point there. All right, that was our conversation about rooftop solar in Idaho and the Snake River Alliance's Solarize the Valley campaign. Thanks for joining us. As always, if you enjoyed this conversation, you can check out the show notes page for this episode at wildlensinc.org/EOC128. You can also subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or just about anywhere podcasts are distributed. If you want to help new people discover the show, you can leave us an honest rating and review on iTunes. Just search for Eyes on Conservation in the iTunes store, or follow the link on the show notes page. The Eyes on Conservation podcast is a production of Wild Lens. Today's episode was produced by myself, your host, Matt Podolsky. Our theme music is by The Humidors.